Hi, and welcome to this week's Off the Bench. I'm Sam.
And I'm Janny.
Heading into game week 30 felt like a pivot point in many FPL managers' season. There were a lot of active wildcards, myself included, and a lot of managers looking to either consolidate what had happened during double game week 29 or rebuild after what had happened in double game week 29. Janny, how was game week 30 for you?
It wasn't bad, Sam. I had quite a good week. One of those weeks where all your transfers go to plan and the players you bring in actually perform. So that was really nice. I bought in Haaland, captained him. I also sold Madison on a hit, which was high risk, but bought in Grealish. So it worked really well. And then I even my benching decisions this week, Sam, fell into place nicely. I benched Bruno, but started Solly March. So it was one of those really good weeks where I've got a green arrow and I've noticed you and I are both on exactly the same overall points for the season.
Is that right?
Are yeah, I just checked
tied?
This morning.
Oh, how funny is that?
The battle is on.
Oh, for sure. Right now, I've got to beat you. That's going to be the thing between now and the end of the season is what chips have you got left?
I've got my free hit left, but I notice you've just wildcarded. So your team, arguably your squad's going to be a little bit stronger than mine.
Oh, yeah, I did wildcard this week. And I think it felt for me like it was the right time because, like you say, I've got my free hit left for 32. So I could position myself in a place where I had the players that I wanted for 34 without compromising my team for 32 because I don't need to worry about that at the moment. So like you, I also, as part of my wildcard, bought in Haaland and Grealish this week, captained Haaland. So that was a good decision. And I think that is part of what gave me a little bit of a boost is the fact that everybody without a free hit was probably thinking, well, can I really bring in these Manchester City assets? Because I'm just causing myself further headache for 32, whereas I could kind of exploit that a bit more. I also brought in Tyrone Mings for the Villa clean sheet. So that felt really nice. My couple of differentials that I had there doing really well. My other City player, by the way, is Edison now. I thought I didn't want to get involved in the rotation at the back. And we'll talk about that more in a minute. But John Stones, prime example of that during the match this week. So I was a little bit upset when Southampton scored. I was like, why have we done that, Saints? Come on now. You were comfortably losing the game. We didn't really need that goal, did we? But alas, no clean sheet for Edison.
I look forward to speaking more about Man City later because you're right, that defence needs consideration. And so many teams only have that one Man City player. We've got two or three. It was great to see Jack Grealish score, wasn't it? Because you mentioned Mings and Grealish as two of your differentials. But when you look at so many of the kind of your mini league rivals, or you look at the overall ranks at our rank around sort of 100, 200K, you look at everyone's teams and they're so similar. There's so many players in there that are highly owned. Yeah. When you do have a 3% Jack Grealish go and score 12 points, it just makes the biggest of differences, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, going into game week 30, that's kind of what I hoped would happen when I was looking at Jack Grealish and going, it does feel, because I also sold Madison in order to bring in Grealish as part of my wild card. And I was like, it feels all kinds of wrong to sell James Madison ahead of a game against Bournemouth. However, Bournemouth and Leicester, with the way that they've both been performing, that feels like a bit of a scrap at the bottom of the league right now. And for most teams, you know, we've been saying maybe you look to target teams like Bournemouth. And that's fine if you're targeting them with teams like Arsenal and Manchester City. But Leicester don't feel like a team right now that are able to do that. So I made the decision to move him on. And I must admit, I was worried about James Maddison. I was thinking if James Maddison does get something out of this game, it's going to hurt. So I really do need Grealish to, one, avoid the Pep roulette, and two, perform well on Saturday. And he did. So yeah, that worked really well. I mean, maybe we should just start with Manchester City because we've kind of gone in with them at the beginning. So obviously Grealish, he was impressive. Haaland, really impressive. And that link up for their goal together was, well, as a owner of both, that was perfect for me. I was like, yes, that's it. We can stop the game now that we've had a Grealish and Haaland link up.
Yeah, it's all about those combinations in FPL, isn't it? When you get the assister and the goal scorer, it's like, win, especially when one of them has the armband and one of them's your differential. But the City form, the reason I was so big on going on City early, and I think all FPL managers now are looking at bringing in the second or the third asset, is simply they just are scoring so many goals at the moment. And they're the team with the highest ceiling by a country mile. And when I look at their last three home games, 7-0, 6-0, 4-1. Like they score a minimum 4 goals at home at the moment. And then their away form hasn't been brilliant this season, but they showed at the weekend they can go and score big goals away from home. And I just want more cover than Haaland when they're going and scoring 5, 6, 7 goals a game. Grealish gives us that. Kevin De Bruyne gives us that. There is always the fear, and we always talk about Pep Roulette, but knowing the title is still very much in Man City's hands, it's in Arsenal's hands as well, I can't see a huge amount of rotation. I think we'll see it around the cup semi-final against Sheffield United, for example.
Yeah, I agree.
But Champions League and Premier League, there are four or five glue guys in this team. And at the moment, Haaland's obviously one, but Grealish is another. That left-hand side of the attack, even when Foden is back fit, it's Grealish's spot to lose. The right-hand side of the attack could be Mahrez, could be Bernardo Silva, Alvarez can play there, Foden can play there. So it just makes sense to go Grealish for safety. He's also so cheap, under 7 million. And then I'm now looking at the defence going, they're also the best defence in the league. And yeah, they've not been keeping too many clean sheets, but their data for expected goals conceded is so good. I now want cover at the back as well. And you obviously went Edison.
Yeah, and I struggled. Actually, this was the one part of the wild card that I did really struggle on because I knew I wanted to get three Manchester City in. I knew I wanted it to be Haaland and Grealish. So it was a case of, right, well, who's my defender? And I spent a long time kind of looking at the defence because historically you'd have just gone to Cancelo and that would have been it. You'd have gone, right, that's fine because I get some attacking returns. He's almost guaranteed to start, et cetera, et cetera. This year I looked at it and was like, okay, well, John Stones feels the most secure of starters in that defence. Plus there's some attacking threat there. Not loads, but there's some. So in my head, I was like, well, maybe I go with him. But the fact that the Champions League sit straddled between these two nice fixtures, the game against Southampton and then the game in 31 against Leicester, just worried me a little bit because I thought, you know, if Man City are comfortable, could we see a point where Pep goes, all right, off you come to those kind of glue guys that you've mentioned, the likes of Haaland, the like, particularly as he was coming back from injury, the likes of Grealish, KDB, and I'll bracket John Stones in there as well because you want to protect those kind of guys. And that is what we saw at the weekend. You know, we saw John Stones coming off before the 60th minute. Now, in the end, I suppose you'd argue it didn't really matter because the clean sheet went. However, I just didn't want to be in a position where clean sheet stuck and I didn't get the 90 minutes or at least the 60 minutes out of that defence. So I decided to go with Edison on the basis that whatever happens, you know that Edison's going to be between sticks.
Yeah, yeah. I've been looking at the pros and cons of all of them. The favoured back four at the moment, plus Edison. And I think I'm probably going to settle on either Ake for money because he's only 5 million or Diaz because I feel like he's, out of all the defenders, the most nailed for 90. I think the last seven Premier League games, Diaz has played 90. Mm. He plays in the centre of the kind of three. If we're assuming John Stones pushes into the midfield, you've got Kanji right, Diaz central, and then Ake left. And again, that left-hand spot with no Cancelo feels like it's only really Ake's. But then you get some of those early substitutions with Ake like you might with Stones. So it's a difficult one. I mean, with all these City defenders, a bit like with Edison, you do feel like it's a maximum 6 points. Like since Cancelo left that team, there isn't that defender that's good. You go, okay, I'm going to get bonus and I'm going to get an assist or a goal every now and then. Mm. The ceiling is much lower. But when you look at the fixtures, I fancy a lot of 6-pointers between now and the end of the season and the 6-pointers I want.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It doesn't really matter in my mind if you don't get loads of attacking returns out of them. And I think at Man City, you know, with the amount of goals that they're scoring, it always looks likely that it's going to be the attacking players that pick up those bonus points because obviously, you know, Haaland is looking like he wants to score at least a brace every week. Grealish looks like he wants multiple attacking returns constantly. And then you get the other guys that chip in, the likes of Gundogan or Mahrez, obviously KDB as well, who is a phenomenal asset. So I think you are settling a little bit. And so because of that, I was kind of like on wildcard, I was thinking, well, maybe going with Edison's the right pick because I was uncertain about which of the goalkeepers were going to get starts, particularly with Frank Lampard coming back at Chelsea. I was like, maybe he gives Mendy a bit of a go in the goalkeeper slot. And then you've got the uncertainty at Leicester plus the lack of clean sheets at Leicester at the moment as well. So I didn't know if I wanted to go for Ward and stick with him in case he gets his spot back when somebody takes over at Leicester, whether I wanted to stick with Everson. It felt so kind of difficult. Plus, I didn't want Jason Steele. Not because I didn't want Jason Steele, but because I think there are three better options at Brighton, who we can talk about in a bit. So it felt hard. And therefore, the move to a premium set and forget goalkeeper, now my bench boost is done, also felt like a good way to go. And with the fixtures that Man City have, plus the fact that arguably, with Arsenal dropping points at the weekend, Man City have put themselves in the prime position for the title race, in my opinion. You know, if they win their game in hand, they've only got to beat Arsenal in 33 and they're back at the top of the league. So I wanted to be invested. I didn't want to take the risk with the defenders. So I thought, right, Edison in goal, it is them.
Yeah, the bookies' favourites now, just about. It's a close race, but I'm with you. I think they're in pole position. And interestingly, just final point on Man City from me, it's the Champions League rotation, because we always worry about too many fixtures. Yet Man City play Tuesday in week one and then Wednesday in week two. So again, it's those two games against Bayern Munich are over 8 days. Whilst comparably, Chelsea have the Wednesday-Tuesday turnaround. Mm. So there's two Champions League games in 6 days wedged between that fixture against Brighton in game week 31. So I'm expecting way more rotation, for example, at Chelsea than Man City. So yeah, it will be an interesting one. I think Pep goes all out for these remaining Premier League games because the title is still there to be champions of England. And that's primarily, they're always number one goal. It's to win the league. And then Champions League is, of course, a huge added benefit. But number one, it's be the champions of England. And Pep will genuinely think that.
I think that's a good segue into going into Chelsea, really, because obviously they are our other Champions League side. As you say, they've got closer games in terms of the way that the fixtures have gone. We saw and we heard from Frank specifically since he took over. He said, I've left N'Golo Kante out because it's a rest and recovery thing. And I've benched Chilwell. And when asked why, it was, well, I need to make sure everybody's ready for the midweek. And it felt very much like the priority from him was to make sure that in a game that I think they thought they could win against Wolves, that they had the availability of the team for midweek in the Champions League action. As a now Chilwell owner, he came in for me on wildcard, swapped out Kepa and went for Chilwell instead because of the potential upside there. I must admit, Johnny, I was really frustrated by that because I was like, you know, Chilwell over the last few weeks has been by far Chelsea's best player. He's been so attacking. And in double game week 29, I don't honestly know how Chilwell didn't get an attacking return across those two matches. I really don't. And going into this game against Wolves, I thought, you know, even if the clean sheet doesn't stick, you've always got the opportunity for a attacking return from Chilwell because he has the assist threat, but also he's got the goal threat this season as well.
Oh, he's greedy. We love greedy players. He shoots on sight, and I'm not sure how we haven't seen the goals either. What's slightly annoying about Frank coming in that first game against Wolves was he moved to a back four.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay, Reece James and Chilwell. Sure, that's still very good assets in a back four. Of course they are. And they still do get forward. They really do. But in a five, they're like wide forwards. Mm. And I'd much prefer, from an FPL perspective, seeing Chilwell and Reece playing in a back five. It's going to be really interesting to see how he lines up against Real Madrid. He might go to a back five and therefore Chilwell becomes way more valuable to him because Cucurella isn't going to go and play wing back and Chilwell obviously will. And if it works against Real Madrid, then maybe we see more of that back five in the Premier League, which is something I would like to see. But, you know, Lampard, you're right, the priority is all on those two games against Real Madrid. He's got this unbelievable opportunity here. A bit like Avram Grant came into Chelsea, got them to a final. Di Matteo came in as a caretaker, won them the Champions League. Lampard actually got them, I think, to the quarterfinals when he got sacked. And then Tuchel came in and won the Champions League with this team. So he's going to be looking at this going, I could become a Champions League winning manager and I've just got to beat, you know, Real Madrid over two legs. Then I've got one more hurdle and I'm in the final. So there's a slim chance there, but he'll be backing himself. And because of that, we're going to see big rotation in the Premier League.
I think for me, as somebody that's just wildcarded, when I was looking at Chelsea, I ended up going for Chilwell, but I was tempted to bring in somebody else from Chelsea because obviously with my free hit being activated for game week 32, I don't need to worry about the fact that they blank there and I could make sure I had the investment in place for game week 34. But the reality is I didn't feel that there was anybody standout at Chelsea right now in those kind of all important midfielder and forward slots because there were so many players I wanted there from other teams, that the looking at investing in somebody like Havertz or João Felix or even one of the midfielders just didn't feel comfortable. It felt like I was taking up a slot when, one, I wasn't really sure what the rotation might look like. Like, might we see the return of Mason Mount now he's fit? Might we see the return of Pulisic because he was one of Frank Lampard's favourites the last time he was managing at Chelsea? Might he stick with the new boys? Might we see somebody like Mudrić getting a bit more time? It all felt so uncertain. And after game week 30, I still don't think I'm any clearer as to if there's a Chelsea attacking player that I might want to invest in.
I really don't think there is, Sam. I was really hopeful against Wolves that we were going to see something from João Felix and Kai Havertz. Both sort of have had a little bit of love in FPL. I myself still own Kai Havertz. Not
Do
quite
you?
Sure how, but the expected data has been there. Under Potter, he was getting all the chances, not really converting them. But under Potter, we saw him become a kind of 90-minute man. He was Potter's go-to attacker time and again. What we've seen under Frank Lampard already is Havertz, yes, he started against Wolves, but he came off at 61 minutes. And I think we're going to see a lot of that. Kai Havertz is not guaranteed to be starting under Frank Lampard like he was under Potter. So for me, he's an immediate sell. And even with the slight change in system with a back four, we have one more attacker in that lineup. But with Frank Lampard, we've just got no idea who's going to be the front three, who's going to even be the midfield three. Because I think you're right, Sam. Mason Mount should come in and get a lot of games. But will Sterling become more of a feature? Will Mudryk get minutes? Frank Lampard played Christian Pulisic a lot in his last spell at Chelsea, so we could see Pulisic become an FPL option. But to be FPL options, they need to be scoring goals.
And 100%.
Even if we can nail the 11 here, it doesn't really help us because they're not producing points. So I don't think we're going to be looking at them, despite them having some good fixtures. And we know they're also going to be owed a double game week as well. But still, for the time being, it's Chilwell, Reece James, probably Chilwell, or Kepa. They're the only two, I think.
Yeah, and it's difficult because I don't necessarily see the clean sheet sticking either at the moment. They do have a susceptibility to kind of concede a goal here or there. So investing in Chelsea is hard. I'm going to stick with Chilwell, obviously, because I think he's the better option at Chelsea. Yeah. And as long as he gets minutes, which I would expect him to, I do think that the Champions League match in midweek has had a massive impact on his playtime in game week 30. So I'm hopeful that going forward, we see him back in the starting 11 from the beginning. I think your position on Havertz is an interesting one because there are so many good, cheaper forwards right now that all returned in game week 30. I think let's go to Watkins first.
Yeah,
because
I was hoping you weren't going to say Watkins, Sam, because this is the player that's been really killing my rank of late.
I know.
I went Havertz over Watkins, a month ago. And Watkins has scored every week and Havertz, I don't think, has had a single return, you know?
Yeah, and it's so frustrating. I mean, I didn't have Watkins until I wildcarded. And that was part of my decision to wildcard at this point. And I was like, I have to get Ollie Watkins. Like, yeah. I need him in my life. Like, the guy is on absolute fire right now in a way that I've never seen him consistently be before. Yeah. And, you know, all right, he left it very late, 95th minute, and celebrated by taking his shirt off, which meant he lost a point. However, I just think that with the form that he is in, but not just him, with the form that Aston Villa are in and the way that Unai Emery has got them playing makes them such good FPL assets right now, which is why I doubled up on Villa on wildcard. Now, Watkins, I think, you know, when you look at him, I had to sell Tony to bring in Watkins. And I'll be honest, that wasn't a decision that I enjoyed. Been in great form, has been regularly returning, and obviously did return this week. But it was the yellow card situation that made me go for Watkins in the end. And I was like, well, you know, Tony, if he picks up this 10th yellow card, then we're going to get a couple of game ban. As it happened this week, it was the right decision to have Watkins. He outscored Tony because of that penalty miss that Tony had. But it did feel difficult. Whereas selling Havertz for Watkins, surely that is a transfer that you're thinking about.
Yeah, the problem is it's a 4-point hit to do it every time because I've got other plans. But it does feel like you'll be paid back with those 4 points almost immediately. I guess the question that now I'll be looking at is, am I looking to sell Havertz for a similarly priced striker, or Tony or Watkins? By the way, that Tony suspension tightrope, I think he's got to make it through the Villa game in game week 32. So he's got two more games to avoid a yellow. If he gets a yellow in one of those two games, it's a two-match ban. So I'm looking at it thinking, well, I've used my bench boost now. And because we've just used bench boosts, many FPL managers, we've all got these great squads. And I hate bench points. Getting points on your bench in FPL is so frustrating.
Yeah.
Now, it's fine if you've got one good sub option, but having three good sub options every week just makes the headache too strong for me. So I'm looking at that Havertz slot thinking, I'm probably going to want to accommodate someone like Mo Salah very soon. If I'm doing that, I need money. So does Havertz just become a kind of dead spot, a 4 million forward that sits as my third sub between now and the end of the season? And I'm putting more money in my 11. So I think when I do eventually sell Havertz, firstly, I think he'll be on my bench. I don't think I'll be starting Havertz again. But I think it will be to get funds elsewhere. But you're right, Ollie Watkins, the form is there. He also plays in game week 32. So if you don't have a free hit, you should really have Watkins in your team. If you're not free hitting in 32, I think you need him in. Someone like me, I'm free hitting in 32. I always guarantee he'll be in my team for that fixture against Brentford.
Yeah, I've doubled him up with Tyrone Mings. I think you could double him up with Konsa. There's Moreno as well, if you want to go for the defenders. There's so many options in the Villa defence that I think you can invest in. I think the big question for me, and this will segue us nicely into the Arsenal and Liverpool game, is Gabriel Jesus. Because when I was building my wild card and I put Ollie Watkins in, I said quite a few times to basically anybody that would listen to me whilst I was planning my wild card that I wanted some money in the bank as well as Watkins, because I fancied Watkins to do well against Nottingham Forest. But I wanted the ability to have Gabriel Jesus as my third striker option. I so enjoyed the earlier part of the season having that front three of Haaland, Kane and Jesus. And it was, it was a holy trinity that went so well for so long. And going into game week 30, I thought, well, look, I'm not sure I want to have Jesus for that game against Liverpool. Plus, no double in there for Arsenal. So I need to think really carefully about how much do I want to go in on them in this period. And I frustratingly got it totally wrong. Sold Martinelli rather than Saka. And that really, really hurt. But I am now looking at Gabriel Jesus and thinking, well, he definitely looks like he should be back on our radars again. And if you, again, one of these players that if you don't have a free hit, looks perfect for investment now ahead of game week 32.
Yeah, we're at Southampton at home. Like, we get a better fixture than that. And Arsenal are so, so explosive on their day. I'm looking at Jesus too, I must admit. And I look at it and think, the big chances in this Arsenal team at the moment, since Jesus has been back and it's only been a couple of weeks, they fall to Martinelli and Jesus. And if we think back to that start of the season, who were the best FPL assets in that Arsenal attack? It wasn't Saka. It was Martinelli and Jesus. And I think a lot goes down that left, because we know Jesus drifts left. We know Martinelli comes in from the left and likes to occupy the nine position.
Yep.
And while Saka, I still think, is a good asset over a long stretch of games, any sort of 10, 15 given sample size of games, I think Saka's the standout Arsenal option, because you just don't quite know when those scores are coming in for Saka and he can tick along. But in terms of explosiveness for short-term bursts, I think Jesus and Martinelli are quite similar. They go through these phases of high points, low points. And if you can get on them at the right time, they're brilliant options. And I think when we free hit in 32, Martinelli and Jesus will be the two we go for if they're still on that sort of form. In terms of buying them for the long term, I guess with Arsenal, we're just a little bit worried about the fixtures. But it shouldn't worry us too much that they've still got to play City and Newcastle and Chelsea and Brighton, because we just saw game of the season so far against Liverpool.
Oh, it was great.
And Arsenal still produced tons of chances against, you know, Liverpool's defence at Anfield since the restart has been really good since the World Cup. So they'll put up good XG and good shot volume against anyone.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? Because when I was making that decision between Martinelli and Saka, Martinelli felt like the player that had the best form, and therefore, normally that's the one that I would want to keep. I was really torn on this, but the Trossard factor played a massive part in my thinking, because I wanted to be in a place where I was, as part of my wild card, as far as possible, avoiding rotation. I wanted to make sure that the midfielder that I had from Arsenal, because I was dropping down from 2-1, would get the starts. And Saka offers that in a way that Martinelli and Trossard just can't quite. Now, I do wonder whether I made the wrong call, because over the whole of the rest of this season, even if Martinelli has come off the bench, he's coming off the bench against tired defences, which he's then wreaked absolute havoc with. So maybe I prioritised too much the rotation risk that is there with Martinelli and Trossard. And maybe actually sticking with Martinelli is the way to go. I think when it comes to free hitting in 32, I'll probably just look to go treble up on the attack, which means frustratingly not having Gabriel, who has been phenomenally good for me. And I think that's going to be a quandary that most FPL managers have, is if you're free hitting, which three do you go with? I think if you're not free hitting, what we saw from Arsenal in this game at the weekend is that they will go to these bigger teams. They will absolutely attack them. Yeah. When it was a game of football in those first 30 minutes, Arsenal were absolutely perfection. They turned up, they played, that's really hard as a Spurs fan to sit here and say that as well, by the way. But they turned up, they were phenomenal. They played free-flowing attacking football. They weren't worried by the fact that they were playing against Liverpool at Anfield. They just performed brilliantly. I think, you know, yes, they've got difficult fixtures. There's that game against Man City, which has now become an absolutely must-win game for Arsenal. They're going to have to beat Man City if they want to stay in pole position for winning the league this season. And then they're going to have to beat teams like Newcastle, who also really need those points in order to secure their Champions League football for next season. So Arsenal are going to have to be at their very best between now and the end of this season. And for me, that means as an FPL manager, that's an attractive team to be investing in. I want to be investing in the teams that have got real things to fight for these last 8 game weeks of the season. I want the ones that are fighting for the Champions League. I want the ones that are fighting for the league. And I want the ones that are fighting relegation as well, because you guarantee a bit more drive than these teams maybe that are just sitting in the middle of the league.
Yeah, we always get to the point in the season where we look at some of the sort of teams that we feel like were on the beach and we refer to them as beach teams. And I think it's probably a little bit early to refer to any as beach teams, but Fulham are a team, for example, you look at and go, they're not playing for much. They're not going to go down. They're not going to get European football. Are they on the beach already? I mean, they're missing their best player in Mitrovic. It's hard to judge. But I look at teams like Palace, for example, look how good they've been in recent weeks. A team that you mentioned that were kind of linked to those relegation places. Well, 2 wins on the bounce. Tons of goals, tons of shots. We weren't seeing that under Vieira. And you get some really exciting FPL options. I look at the likes of Eze, Elise got a hat-trick of assists. Mm. Both those guys, that's so much fun. And to go and score 5 at Elland Road, I think on Easter Sunday, was just a brilliant, brilliant result. And even the week before on Roy Hodgson's first game, he took over and he got that late winner against Leicester. The fixtures are there for Palace. And again, they're another team that don't blank in game week 32. So if you're looking for that kind of fifth midfield slot, Eze and Elise, you should be on your radar.
Yeah, Elise, 6 chances created in game week 30. I mean, Bruno Fernandes and Solly March also got 6 each, but that was it. That was the highest amount of chances created across the game week. So he was really impressive in that one. And, you know, I was actually really impressed with Crystal Palace in this game. There's been some return, definitely, with Roy Hodgson of the players that he liked before, like that we're starting to see them.
Yeah, Jordan Ayew comes back in. Yeah.
Exactly. But in some ways, I think for us as FPL managers, that's great, isn't it? Because we get a bit more comfortable with investment in teams like Crystal Palace. You know, I've been helping Max, my son, with his team this year. He doesn't have his free hit chip left and it's his first season. So I was kind of talking to him about, you know, when you look at the fixture ticker, investing in the teams that are at the top is going to be helpful to you because you don't have the ability to free hit your way out of game week 32. So teams like Crystal Palace, with the form that they are in, I'm still not fully secure. I think they need another couple of wins under their belt to kind of get them to that safety mark. The encouragement and the motivation is going to be there. Eze and Elise, I think, are both really, really nice options. And if you wanted to go with one of the defenders, I don't think there's that many clean sheets there, but the fixtures are there. So you could go with somebody like Anderson. You could go with Gaita in goal. You know, there are options, I think, at Crystal Palace.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Sam, I love you telling stories about how you've been sitting down with Max, your son, and going through kind of his FPL strategy, a bit like you'd expect a mum to do with their son, maybe over their school homework. But for you, forget the homework. Let's do some FPL training.
Well, that's
how old's Max?
He's 9. I think it's his first season, and it's interesting going back and looking at somebody playing it with fresh eyes, because obviously this part of the season is quite tough as even a season FPL manager. You know, with all the doubles and the blanks, you have to be strategic in your thinking and you have to play your chips wisely. And he used his chip back in one of the other blank game weeks where he had like 5 players playing. So it made sense for him to play it at that moment. But it does mean that now we've known for a while, obviously, that he hasn't got the ability to free hit in blank game week 32. So we've been taking players out. We've been managing the way that he plays. And he's been making some good decisions. The negative for him was that he didn't have any Man City this week because we couldn't afford to bring them in, knowing that it was going to cause us a problem later. But Crystal Palace is a team that I, you know, when we were watching the game together yesterday and I pointed them out and said, this is maybe a team that you want to have a look at because they're going to help you out. Whereas for a lot of us, you know, maybe we might invest in Crystal Palace as part of our free hit team, but we maybe wouldn't bring them in across the rest of our team. But I do think with the way that they performed against Leeds, with the attacking threat that they had, now Leeds did fall apart. That's the other thing to say, is that once Crystal Palace started, Leeds just seemed to just kind of get all disorientated and kind of get, they seem to give up a little bit towards the back end of the game. And not all the teams that Palace face will do that. But I do think when you look at them, there are a couple of players in there now that you could use as differential punts. I mean, most of the Palace team is owned by under 1% of the game, which is hugely differential. So you're looking to climb your mini leagues and you don't have a free hit. I think Crystal Palace showed themselves in game week 30 to be a team that you could invest in under Hodgson.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And when we say about preparing for that game week 32, if you're not on a free hit, the four teams that blank in that game week are ones that are heavily invested in, you know, Brighton, Chelsea, and then it's the two Manchester clubs. So if you are buying players now, you're not on a free hit 32, when you're looking to maybe look like you're replacing a, I don't know, a Marcus Rashford, let's talk about him, are you going to be cautious on going, oh, I'm going to replace him with Jack Grealish? Well, maybe not, because he doesn't play in game week 32. Are you shopping outside of the Manchester clubs, Chelsea and Brighton? Well, maybe for a week or two, you do need to do that. What do you make of that Marcus Rashford injury, Sam? Because he's pretty much in all our teams. I'm guessing from those listening right now, he must be in 60, 70% of engaged managers' teams.
Oh, at least I would say. Yeah. I mean, he has been... Well, he's been so good this season. He was the player that at the beginning of the year I thought might be the one that really shows himself, that this might be his season with the World Cup and everything else going. And he really has. He's been so, so good. And in that game against Everton, he was really unlucky not to get more than just an assist. Was it not for an absolutely outstanding performance by Jordan Pickford in that game? Manchester United could have scored a lot more than they did.
That first half was incredible, wasn't it? It was just all United. How it was still a low scoring half, I don't know.
No, it's absolutely mad. And when you look at what happened during that game, Rashford had seven shots and obviously came off the bit early because of this groin injury that he had. So, you know, you've got a player that's in great form, playing really well, in a team that's playing really well. You know, I mentioned earlier Bruno Fernandes alongside Elise, top for chances created. Bruno Fernandes was also third across the game week for passes, and he was in there for crosses as well. So when you look at Bruno Fernandes, when you look at Marcus Rashford, when you look at United generally, they look like a team that you want to be investing in. The question is, what do we do now? So we've got the benefit of Manchester United playing midweek football this week, which means we're going to hear from Ten Hag, which I think is going to be so useful to us as FPL managers. I'm going to be paying more attention than I normally do to what United are doing in Europe, because I want to hear from Ten Hag again in terms of Rashford and his availability. If it's a short-term injury, as in it might keep him out of game week 31, Rashford will still be a hold for me. I'll just move him to the bench because I'm not going to need him for 32 anyway, because that's when I'm free hitting. And then he can come back in for the double in 34. The bigger question is, if we don't get certainty of how long or how bad this injury is, or if you aren't free hitting in 32, then you might need to make some difficult decisions surrounding Marcus Rashford, because those bench spots are going to be quite important and you're only going to want to take it up with a player that you know is going to be back for you the week after.
That double game week 34 is going to be key. Like, if we're holding Rashford for game week 34, we've got to know he's going to start. I mean, I've just looked ahead at the dates of those fixtures, Sam, and the fixtures come thick and fast because game week 33 is in midweek. So those 34 fixtures start on Saturday, the 29th of April. Yeah. So, you know, it's not long. This is a groin injury. And from what Ten Hag has said so far, it's very difficult to speculate, but it doesn't look like he's going to be back straight away. And therefore, yeah, every nugget of information we get from Ten Hag between now and the deadline is going to be so, so valuable. Because for me, he's only going to be a hold if we're confident that he's around in 34. Because otherwise, we need other players for that double game week. You know, there's some good teams doubling. Brighton double. Liverpool double, you know, many might be looking at trying to get Salah into their teams and using Rashford as a make weight. I know there's a huge difference in funds there. City have a double that week, as well as obviously United. Maybe many will switch to Bruno, for example. But yeah, we got to know he's going to start in 34.
And it's going to be a wait and see, I think. You know, we had this with Haaland, didn't we, and his groin injury. And when you think about the length of time that Haaland was out for, it didn't feel quite as bad because it was over international break. So he wasn't missing that many game weeks. Whereas with Rashford, where this injury, potential injury has come, could mean quite significant things for our FPL team. So definitely one that we've got to watch. Definitely one that we've got to think carefully about. And if you aren't free hitting in 32 and he's not available for 31, then maybe he is a player that you can kind of take out for 31, use as that position to get your team looking better for 32, and then go back to him again if he's fit and available by game week 34.
Yeah, and I mentioned Mo Salah there, Sam, who obviously has some good fixtures. And we have seen, I know it was a difficult performance for him against Arsenal with the missed penalty, and he missed a lot of chances. But if you're into your XG, he was super high, like so many chances. Obviously, he's missed a target on his last two penalties, and they accumulate high XG, 0.78 on those penalty kicks. But he should be scoring more points. Salah owners can count themselves unlucky. That very easily could have been a 15-20 pointer against Arsenal. And knowing that Liverpool don't have midweek fixtures, they're not in Europe, they're fresh every weekend now, they'll still think they can get top four. I'm desperate to try and get Mo Salah into my team, and I'm not sure quite how I do that. It might mean that I need funds from Harry Kane, for example. Ooh. Now, it's difficult to sell Harry Kane now because he's about to play Bournemouth. But after that, the fixtures are a little bit tricky. He has Newcastle, United, Liverpool. And I do wonder if come game week 33, ahead of that double, we'll see a lot of managers shift Kane out to then go Salah the week after.
Oh, do you know, the premium problem is real, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, because you've got Salah, who I totally agree with you, was really unlucky not to get more than he did. And he's definitely the standout pick at Liverpool at the moment. Lee and I were having a conversation yesterday after that game, because I find it really hard to get Salah into my team with the way that everything else is working, unless Rashford isn't fit. And then, of course, that position is available. But like you say, I've got to find a significant amount of budget. And I don't have that sitting in the bank. I have 3 million in the bank, but I don't have six. Yeah. So to bridge that gap is going to take quite a lot. And there isn't really anyone else at Liverpool, particularly in those attacking positions, that's standing out for me right now. Like, Firmino looks great when he comes on, but he's just coming on for 30 minutes here, 20 minutes there. Darwin's getting rotated quite regularly at the moment. You know, he's not started the last couple. That's a worry. Gakpo just really isn't hitting the mark at the moment. He was. There was a period of time where I thought, oh, maybe he's going to kind of stand out as an FPL asset. But the last couple of weeks, we've not seen that. Then you've got Jota, but he's taking one of the forward slots in the game rather than one of the midfielder slots. So that makes it more of an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
Then there's Luis Diaz, who is due back, but I do worry might be wrapped in cotton wool a little bit and might get minutes here, minutes there.
Yep.
So it depends on how quickly he comes back to starting. So Salah feels very much like the go-to if you want to get somebody from Liverpool. But you can't really have Kane and Haaland and Salah unless you've still got your wild card. Because you're going to have to make significant changes to the way your team is structured. So if you don't have a wild card left, that's going to take you a few weeks probably to get to that point where you can either get the holy trinity of premiums in, or you sacrifice Kane and move the funds into the midfield. And with the way that Kane's been playing, even when Spurs are playing badly, I don't really want to make that sacrifice.
No, nor me. Nor me, I really don't. And I'm really hoping between now and then, i.e. game week 34, we see other Liverpool assets step up and go, okay, covering Salah's points is a little bit difficult. Can we really cover the points of the guy who's been the game's best player for the last 4 or 5 years? Probably not. But we can still cover that attack with some players that we feel like they can get towards those Salah totals. And I think Gakpo is probably the one, because he is starting in that number nine role, the Bobby Firmino role, if you like. And he is listed as a midfielder and he is cheap. So I think he's 7.6 million. If he starts scoring goals between now and then, I think we'll see quite a few go to Gakpo, knowing that Diaz, Jota, Darwin, they're all just going to share minutes. Yet Gakpo seems like the guy that's going to get the most minutes out of those guys away from Salah. But watching the game at the weekend, you just think, if you're buying a Liverpool attacker, make it happen. It has to be Mo. It'll be interesting to see if he stays on penalties. I mean, his record's not been great, and Fabinho has got a really good record from previous clubs. I think Monaco, he may have been the penalty taker. I think he'll probably get one more chance.
Yeah, I think that's three of the six he's had this season missed now, which isn't great, is it? I mean, I think for me, my plan with Liverpool is obviously to invest heavily on free hit in 32. They've got a nice game against Nottingham Forest, who don't travel well. We've seen that this season, Nottingham Forest on the road, totally different to Nottingham Forest at home. So going into that game, I'll go treble Liverpool. It will include Mo Salah. It will include probably Andy Robertson or Trent Alexander-Arnold, one or the other of the defenders. And then I probably will take a chance on one of the other attacking assets for that game week. And then maybe that might give me the place where I can then start thinking about which one of them do I want, because we're a couple of games further down the line, and then maybe bringing one in permanently or on a semi-permanent basis anyway into my team for game week 34. We might have a little bit more information. We might have Luis Diaz back. But yeah, Liverpool definitely proving to be a difficult quandary for FPL managers, because actually in that second half, I was impressed by Liverpool and I thought they came and they showed some fighting spirit. And if they can continue to do that, they're not out of the hunt for these European slots. If everything else goes right for them, if other teams start dropping points and if they can get themselves some momentum and on a run, the question is, can they do that? And I think for me right now, it feels like it's Salah or nobody at Liverpool, but for 32 on a free hit, I'm prepared to take plenty of chances with them, knowing that then I don't have to keep them longer term, and I can think more carefully about what my strategy for Liverpool might be heading into their double in 34.
Yeah, the free hit is a fun chip.
So before we go then, Johnny, what are you planning to do with your FPL team this week?
It will almost certainly be a third Man City asset. I'm really keen. I spoke about the ceiling of Man City players, and I just want to cover that team in more depth. And having Grealish and Haaland is great, but I want to complement them with either a defender. And I think Ake and Diaz are probably my two standout options. I've got money in the bank to convert Henry to Ake, for example.
Mm.
Or depending on that Rashford injury news, I might sell Rashford for a Man City mid. Now, obviously, I can't go up to a Kevin De Bruyne. I've got 1.1 in the bank, but I can go up to a Mahrez. Now, this is high risk because we know Mahrez comes in and out the team.
Yeah.
But just for the short term, depending on how he gets on in the Champions League and depending on Foden injury news, because that's key if you're bringing Mahrez in, I might have a little flirt with Mahrez, knowing he's playing against his old club, Leicester. The ceiling feels super high and he's playing well. He did come off early with John Stones in the week, but I think that's very much two substitutions to preserve two of their informed players. Mm. And you just know with Mahrez, he can go and get a 15-pointer out of nowhere, which for the Leicester at home fixture could be a load of fun.
Yeah, it's an interesting one this week, isn't it? Because you and I both need to use our transfer ahead of game week 31, because we're free hitting in 32 and I don't want to waste it. Like you, I'll be waiting on Rashford news. I think that's going to be the key slot of my team to kind of understand what's the matter with Rashford and whether he's going to be missing for any games. Otherwise, it's maybe the Gabriel position, and I nearly sold him on wildcard, but didn't want to because he's been so phenomenally good for me, both attacking returns and defensive ones for Arsenal this season. But I wonder now whether I might look to move him for a player that doubles in 34 so that I don't have to kind of think too carefully about that moving forward.
Guys, we've got through loads today. Sam, that was awesome chatting, and I can't believe we're level on points. So yeah, the running is very important for the battle between me and you. You're back on Thursday, I guess?
Yes, back on Thursday this week on the official pod with Kelly and Jules, as always.
Oh, I love that. Well, look, we've got a midweek of European football coming up, so managers, hold those transfers. This will give us the benefit of course, hearing from Ten Hag, we mentioned earlier. We'll be looking for news on Marcus Rashford, and whatever transfers you make in game week 31, just make sure they're helping your game week 32 team, especially if you don't have that free hit. But for now, we'll see you later.
Bye, guys.